This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Welcome to this edition of the Escape Hour. You're listening to Joy 94.9. With me in the studio is Mark Adams, who's on the panel, and myself.
Welcome back.
Tad Lombardo. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Welcome back, Tad.
It's been a while.
It's been a hiatus. It's been a year.
A little bit over a year
since you broadcast to us. So, right. Yeah, you're welcome back. And thank today's you. Your first. Well, you were back on last week when we were interviewing you.
Correct.
About your journey within.
That's right.
And this week, you're back as a co-host again. Course. So, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back in the saddle.
So, you're on Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Hour, Joy's travel and food talk show. Today we have not much news,
but no news is good news, I guess. That's a good thing.
Apart from Donald Trump announcing that he's going to work even closer with the NRA to make America more dangerous.
Making us all proud. Not, but that's the way it goes.
Strange set of events. And we're also going through our own election cycle here.
That's in full force.
Full force, which
should be an interesting result, I guess.
Yeah, makes you want to leave the country.
But the worst places you can be, so we're pretty lucky.
Yeah, I think every year politics gets dirtier.
It does.
And I think it's got a lot to do with social media and the way people feel.
It's very polarised, isn't it?
It's very polarising and nobody can have a straightforward opinion. Everyone's got to be so...
This or that.
Cut and dry. And even the other day when I was saying I'm a centrist, there was a pile on about that. And I was going, well, I don't really, I'm mostly left, but there are some things that I, they have a point. And it's like, no, you can't think like that. And I was like, well, I'll let it do.
What are you supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do? Yeah. I can't just conform to everybody else's viewpoints and I don't want anyone to conform to mine.
No, and I think that's kind of about the topic we're going to be talking about today is, people who don't know a lot about issues with food and climate change.
Which is very topical, which is very political.
And it's very political. I think that's one of the biggest problems with it. It's been politicized to the point where
They're the ones in the know. We've got two guests in today, Gregory Corchetti and Bryony Barr.
Hi.
Can I just say, Gregory's a scientist, a microbial ecologist. Is that correct?
Yep.
And Bryony Barr is an artist coming together to get a message across.
Okay, so you're an amalgam of things.
That's right. We call ourselves a collaborative.
All right, explain this because the listeners are going to want to know.
We're called Scale Free Network, and we are a microbial ecologist and a conceptual visual artist. That's me, and we work together we bring science and art together to explore scientific ideas, mostly looking at the microbial world and what's invisible. There's so much of the world that's invisible to us, and using art is a way to sort of get people thinking about what they can't see.
So what do you mean it's invisible to us? What does that mean to the naked eye?
Yeah, we can only resolve, our eyes can only resolve about a tenth of a millimetre, about the width of a human hair.
Yeah.
So anything that's smaller than that, we need a microscope or some type of, microscope.
A tool.
A tool. Exactly.
98% of biodiversity on the planet is invisible to our naked eye. So we're talking microbes.
Viruses and molecules and even smaller forces, And so it's like we walk around in the world with our eyes as our tool of observation. Yeah. And, we're missing so much important stuff because we don't think about those hidden worlds. And so what we're trying to do is help visualise those invisible worlds to try and get people thinking about, by thinking small, you actually think bigger about the bigger picture.
And on a conceptual level, there's lots of things that that are hidden from us as well. It's not just the physical world. There's things that we don't think about or it's not part of our everyday life.
I
guess aspects of politics or climate change or food systems or, where the apple that you're eating comes from or who made it or how it grows or, the microorganisms and fungi in the soil that help support that growth and,
That's a strange thing about climate change is because it is so big, it's so complex that it's almost too big to see.
Right.
Instead of being too small to see, climate change is almost too big to see. And I mean, of course, it manifests with heat waves and bushfires and
but
floods.
But the incidents that are a product.
Effects, symptoms.
Yeah.
Is it a situation that, you know, as you said, 98% of the biodiversity we can't actually see with the naked eye. Are those areas or things being affected more so by climate change, and therefore because we can't see them we're not addressing them, or do we just as humans innately wait until we see something and then address it then?
We really don't know.
Right.
There's so few scientists looking at measuring the diversity of those things. I mean, obviously there's a lot of mycologists looking at fungi and microbiologists looking at bacteria and things like that, but we're really not able to. We're still trying to discover so many new thousands and tens of thousands of species that those that are dropping off are kind of almost impossible to detect. Yeah. So yeah, that's a very hard question.
Yeah.
Do they mutate quickly as well, so they might go extinct by doing what they do, is living?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, bacteria particularly are just always changing. So the idea of a species with a bacteria is just is almost becoming impossible because they change so quickly. It's hard to pin down what is a particular bacterial species.
Which is a good and a bad thing, I guess, to be adaptable.
Yeah.
Like if you're thinking about antibiotics or something like that, constant adaptation of certain pathogenic bacteria is a bad thing because, you know, we're always playing catch up. But quick adaptability in another sense means that, you know, you can adapt to change and survive.
Yeah. Right. The Bacteroides bacteria in our gut, some of our, 100 trillion or 40 trillion bacteria that make up our gut microbiome, those bacteria, we want them to be adaptable so that they can fit into that niche and help break down, cellulose and parts of our food to, help feed us.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
That's fascinating.
This is just mind-blowing. It's such a huge topic and it's such an interesting amalgam of two different things. So let's take one step back. Yeah. How'd you get into being an artist, Bryony? What was the path? Because it's a very difficult path to follow. Passion must drive you.
It's not always easy to stay, and it's important to find way. Well, for me, it's been about finding ways of being able to make money through doing my practice. And so my mother was an artist and my dad is a picture framer. Kind of thought everyone's parents did that sort of thing when I was growing up. So I kind of always felt it was an option for me and was always encouraged to be an artist. But I've always been into drawing. I went to art school. I did other university as well. And I've always been interested in scientific ideas and mathematic ideas and ideas that weren't just from the art world. So I guess I'm more of a conceptual artist in that I draw from other ideas but sort of filter it through my practice as an artist. And then as Scale Free Network, working with Gregory Crocetti, the microbiologist, I was able to sort of do that in a more intensive kind of way. You know, we're constantly in dialogue from our different perspectives, art and science. And so through that relationship, we've created workshops and we've made storybooks and we've created installations and participatory experiences for people to sort of, get them thinking about, as we were saying, what we can't see and microbes and bacteria. And just thinking beyond the human perspective.
It's not enough just to make some art and put it on a gallery wall and leave it at that and 20 people come and see it. We want to share those ideas as widely as possible and get them out there.
Let's take a step back with you too. You're a scientist, but obviously you've got the soul of an artist as well. This is all... I can see how this all works. It's not the usual pairing.
Yeah.
So... at school decided to study science?
Actually, I was playing the cello, so I was more a musician to start with.
Okay.
always very bio-curious, as we like to say.
Yeah. You'd be careful with that around here.
Went to the conservatorium in Queensland and realised that it wasn't for me. As much as I loved making music, I wanted something different, and so got it started in science, then I realised that microbiology was what I really loved.
Right.
And just went deeper and deeper and deeper into that and was, working as one. After my PhD, I was working for a few years doing that in a professional sense, and then realised that the whole academia, the ivory tower thing, you know, just being stuck at a university, it was just, that wasn't for me either.
Right.
And I thought,
fair enough,
I want to share what I know and what I'm really passionate about. I want to share that with people. And I realized that children are the best place to start.
Yeah.
And so that's why most of what Bryony and I do is in an educational sense, whether, you know, it's the books we publish or the workshops we do. Most of the time with primary school, sometimes high school. But in this case, we're working with adults. Although there might be some children there.
Yeah. Grown up.
There's
children,
a lot of alcohol wasted on children.
So very diverse backgrounds. And how did this all come together? What was the...
I think when we got together, because we had life partners as well,
we
thought there must be a way that we can do something together. You know, and people to this day still think that science and art is sort of an odd thing to bring together. But, you know, we thought it would be interesting to try to do that. And our first opportunity was actually to run a project at the City of Melbourne. It was funded by the City of Melbourne at Art Play, which is just down at Burrung Ma.
Ah,
It's a civil... what's it called?
Family arts studio.
It's a civil arts studio.
Building,
it's a beautiful
just
old
under
building.
Fed Square.
And so we were funded to buy some microscopes and to start running workshops combining drawing, which is sort of a way to slow down your observation, and looking through the microscope. I mean, it's an age old technique, and that was where we first started. It's sort of thinking about how we could bring those two things together. But I think we were just interested in, I think I was interested in learning what you were interested in, and you were interested in learning what I was involved in.
Right. Yeah.
And that sort of became the symbiosis at the heart of what we do.
Fantastic.
Finding intersections between what we were interested in.
And we work a lot with other people. Almost everything we do, we collaborate with others as well from other disciplines. And on the project that we'll be talking about today, there's many different artists and people from different disciplines. It's sort of the nature of what we do is collaborative, as well as ourselves being collaborative.
That's great. A quick break. Then we're going to come back and talk about carbon arts and what this has got to do with food. Because this is
Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot more. You're on Joy 94.9. You're on the Escape Hour.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad, and with me in the studio is Mark Adams. We've got an important topic we're talking about today, and it's sort of a crossover between science and climate change and art and food. And we've got Bryony Barr and Gregory,
Crocetti.
Crocetti, sorry about that. In with us, Gregory is a scientist and Bryony is an artist. And they're doing an amazing installation and part of a program that is trying to bring light in a creative way to the problem of climate change and food. So tell us about the event that's coming up. And sort of the inspiration behind that and what people could expect.
Yep. So it's, I'm going to say, a conceptual, interactive, participatory dining experience around Bunjil Place, which is in the city of Casey. Yep. It's coming up on this Saturday in the evening. It involves collaboration between ourselves, so that's Scale Free Network, myself and Gregory. It's produced by Carbon Arts, Jody Newcomb, who do a lot of stuff around creativity and climate change. Jody Ahrens, who's a sensory artist. Will Tate.
What's a sensory artist?
She sort of specializes in live art and really sort of getting...
Is it performative? Or
It's performative, And sort of, you know, we work with our eyes a lot. You know, we're used to seeing art with our eyes, but there's so many other senses to appeal to.
Yeah.
So, you know, she works with those sorts of ideas. Will Tate is a musical philosopher. And then Aviva Reed is a visual ecologist, and Pierre Prosk is our sort of all things technician, you know, Electro wizard.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And hosted by Bunjil Place. So all of us are working together. And also, sorry, our chef, extremely importantly, is Alex Perry from Situation Dining. Yeah. So all of us have worked together to conceive of a sort of multi-level, multi-sensory, participatory, comedic, educational, scientific journey and storytelling experience laid out over 8 canapé courses and really drawing
cocktails
on...
Cocktails and fine wine.
Yeah, cocktails, wines. Great. Really just
okay,
looking
so
at
now
Australian
to the,
food.
Another sense. booziness.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It's also, you were saying...
We're all the ingredients, almost all the ingredients are sourced, are Australian... Native ingredients,
foods.
That's one of our inspirations is just looking at how we can journey around Australian food culture and bring attention to Australian foods and foods that have been cultivated by Indigenous people over many, many thousands of years, tens of thousands of years.
There's so many ingredients that are like that in Australia that none of us have even really heard of, and it's such an untapped market, if you like.
It's
fascinating.
Australians love to taste new foods. We are renowned around the world for our gastronomic journeying. Mm. And yet, right here at our doorstep, we've got so many amazing flavours that we're yet to explore.
Though.
It is changing really quickly. And that's why it's exciting to just to be part of that. And actually, we're going to be tasting it, of course, as well.
One of the best restaurants in Adelaide is focuses on Indigenous cuisine.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most sought after, hardest places to get into. It's very fine dining. And they're very creative what they do. They also serve green ant gin.
Yes.
That's on our menu.
We had the gin queen in not long ago and she gave us some of that. Fascinating. It really does taste like green pepper.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been very influenced as a group by Bruce Pascoe's book Dark Emu, looks at Indigenous agriculture, tens of thousands of years of Indigenous agriculture, which is rarely recognised and definitely not taught in schools. And so one of our passions and sort of intentions for this project is to really bring attention to the practices Indigenous agriculture as cultivators of this land and as the custodians who have it's hard to express.
It is because
they've contributed so much and yet it's not acknowledged or understood.
Exactly.
And it's exotic, as you say, almost in that in that restaurant you talked about in Adelaide. I mean, that's amazing that it's a sought-after restaurant, but it is still exotic in a way.
It is.
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Everyone should know.
Exactly. And you talk about Australia's food culture, and most people will say that we don't have one because
it's multicultural,
it's all imported. But the thing is we do have one. It's just...
And it's the oldest one that there is, in a way.
And that's starting to change, which is a good thing. But it needs to be, brought to the forefront and made and embraced a bit more, I think.
Yeah. And commercially farmed, so it's accessible.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is the problem with a lot of Indigenous ingredients is the inaccessibility of them. They're just not available.
It's just small scale.
Alex has had to do quite a bit of work to source those ingredients, and we're trying to source them as much as possible from Indigenous farmers, Aboriginal farmers.
Black Duck Foods, which is actually Bruce Pascoe's, he's involved in that company. They're all about using Indigenous grains like kangaroo grass to make bread.
Something
so
wild.
We'll
really?
Actually be serving I'm not sure if it's kangaroo grass, but bread using seed from his company. Yeah.
And that's meant to be like, we always hear about the, bread coming from the Middle East, 10,000 years ago. But Aboriginals were making bread 30, 40,000 years ago, quite possibly.
Yeah.
That's what Bruce Pascoe at least argues, from kangaroo grass flour and things like that. Mm-hmm. Wallaby grass flour and things like that. Much, much earlier.
Yeah.
So there's some really cool stories to tell, like that we should all be proud of.
Yeah.
That we have right here, and I'm really excited about tasting some of those.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. So this is at the event, which is.
So it's called Of This Earth, and it's at Bunjil Place.
Bunjil Place. Yep. And when is the event?
On
May the 4th from 6 to 9:30 p.m. So yeah. it's
an evening.
It's a big evening event. Yeah, we'll put some of that information out there. It's $85 for a ticket.
Yeah.
$115, so it's $30 extra if you want to get the bus from Melbourne. So, you know,
I was about to say, because
we recommend
Casey.
The bus because there'll be a little bit of, you know, drinking.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know.
Yeah, it's about 35 minutes on the freeway on the M1 heading, you know, out to it's at Narre Warren.
Yeah.
That's right. Where Bunjil Place is.
Right, yes.
It's beautiful. Yeah. There's been $120 million invested in this building.
Right.
They got these amazing German woodworkers to create. The foyer is something to behold. Like, just to see the space is amazing. There's council chambers, 800-seat theatre, gallery, there's another performance space. There's a whole library section there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be... This event takes us through the whole building.
Oh, that's cool.
We get to go through, winding through the journey and eating in different rooms and stuff like that. So
that's
it's going to be quite an experience.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building. And it's named after Bunjil, the creator spirit. And the foyer is actually... It has a sort of shape of eagle wings.
Right.
So it's really lovely, yeah.
If people want to buy tickets, where do they go for that?
I think
you can go to the Carbon Arts website, or probably best will be to go to Bunjil Place.
.com.au.
Yeah.
And Carbon Arts is carbonarts.org.
Okay.
As well.
Okay, so what's Carbon Arts?
So Carbon Arts was initiated by Jodie Newcombe, who's an artist and just an all-round sort of creative person. And I think her interest is just bringing attention to the climate and to the world around us through creative projects.
It came, this idea of this sort of gastronomic sort of, you know, dining experience, thinking about the species that we eat came from her working with an American Australian. Actually, she's from Brisbane originally, or Mackay originally. Natalie Jeremijenko, who's another one of these people who kind of works across art and science. She's now in New York, but they did a project called the Cross Species Adventure Club, and Natalie has done that. She's worked with an American chef, Mahir Desai, which was a conceptual supper club in New York. And we've been to a couple in New York, and Natalie came out here, and they've run a couple here, one at Melbourne Museum and one in somewhere in Collingwood. And so it kind of started as that, as sort of at the basic premise of eating to support biodiversity. And really, like, we were eating microbes,
drink kombucha,
you're always eating microbes.
Exactly.
So fermented things.
Right.
Beer and wine.
But an idea of using conceptual art.
And storytelling.
Approach to food,
When you eat, so Carbon Arts was sort of part of producing those events initially, and have gone on to do, you know, many different things. But I think that idea of storytelling around eating and sort of thinking about, well, what's the origin of the food and what's sort of ideas does this connect to, and is this sustainably made, and, you know, what other things are part of the same ecosystem, and where is it from? You know, those things, those elements were part of that conceptual supper club, and some of those things we're carrying over through to Of This Earth.
God, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's a lot. So it's looking at the unseen world, which is quite a scientific approach, taking a creative lens and applying it to it with food
so it'll be delicious but also educational. And
so what kind of food apart from the bread?
There's two meats on the menu. Actually, no, that's not true. There's a little bit of shellfish. There's a saltbush graised lamb shoulder.
Right.
And a pepperberry encrusted kangaroo fillet. So they're the two red meats that are going to be contrasted each other. I think that's like the fifth and sixth of the eight canapes. So they're slightly later. But the idea being that, like, this is part of the climate and art festival. And, you know, when I saw that lamb was on the menu, I thought, you know, a bit of a red light went off. It's like, hang on, sheep and cows are not really climate friendly.
No.
What's the story here? There has to be a story here. And, of course, so the story is that they're saltbush grazed lamb. And saltbush is able to draw salinity out of the ground and regenerates unproductive farmland. And so there's that idea there that saltbush is able to bring that soil
and
back to life. And it's native.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the lamb are grazing on that. So, you know, you would think of all of the ways that we, if we're going to eat lamb, this is this sort of approach is the smart way to do it. It's about smart ways to do it.
Right.
But the lamb's contrasting against kangaroo.
Yeah.
I think anyone who sort of thinks about meat and about food probably understands that in Australia we should be eating kangaroo meat, irrespective of the health benefits of it, but kangaroo meat probably ahead of lamb and beef as a choice of red meat. And so I think there's a nice contrast there of, you know, lamb versus kangaroo, but a more sustainable lamb.
Yeah.
And of course, there's lots of talk about approaching lamb, that holistic agricultural approach of rotating crop, rotating sheep. Better to encourage productive farmland where carbon's being drawn down into soil.
Taking care of the soil.
Yeah.
Really, it all comes down to soil. We've got, 60 harvests left, apparently, of if we don't, based on our current topsoil around the world. So
it's pretty scary when you think of it.
Which is why a lot of people are going to plant-based diets and eschewing meat, not necessarily just because they choose cruelty-free, but it's also an ecological issue.
So much land.
We call ourselves flexitarians because we're prepared to eat some meat. We don't really take that position. Correct me if you disagree, Bryony, but that where we... I think we're more or less on the same page here, where we, you know, we don't see value in the extremes, but we eat very little meat.
Yeah.
Same.
And we try and be really, really ethical and sustainable about those meats.
There's so much delicious plant-based foods.
And there's so many more options. I was a vegetarian years ago, and there weren't many options. Yeah. And if you went anywhere, people would give you a pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, chips.
Yeah, chips or pasta or something.
Yeah.
And
carbs.
And sometimes I'd throw an omelette with bacon bits in it just for the flavour.
So
vegetarianism or plant-based diets are certainly far more evolved than they used to be. And there's huge amount of great options. We're going to come back afterwards and talk more about the food and some plant-based options and what this all means to a sustainable environment. And then we're going to talk a bit more about microbes.
Great.
You're at Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Hour.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are with Gregory Corchetti and Bryony Barr. Gregory Corchetti is a microbiologist. Is that right?
Microbial ecologist.
It's a slightly different twist on microbiology. We're mostly looking at the medical world, but an ecologist is looking at the environmental aspects of microbes.
Bigger system.
And Bryony's an artist.
That's right.
Second generation artist.
Yeah.
And together, I'm going to let you explain. It's very complex, but it's very interesting. And then we are going to get Bunjil Place's website out there so people can have a look at that amazing building and find out more about this event that's on next week. So let's just recap all these, weaving all these threads together into this very interesting tapestry.
Yep. So we're Scale Free Network. We put together art and science. We're part of a group involving different kinds of artists and performers and live art experts and visual ecologists. And it's a dining event, a multi-faceted dining event that's sort of participatory and a bit of a journey around Bunjil Place, the architecture of Bunjil Place.
But as much a journey around the ingredients
of the event, Australian foods and thinking about the bigger picture of the foods that we have here in Australia, how they've been cultivated, the indigenous role in that, and, you know, eating for sustainability in this country.
And before the break, we were talking about two of the proteins that were going into it, kangaroo and lamb.
Yeah.
Greg, you were talking about a smarter way of cultivating lamb meat.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, they're using saltbush to draw salinity out of the ground. The kangaroo, while I remember, comes from an Indigenous-owned business called Something Wild in South Australia. So that's one of the examples of where we're trying to work, you know, source from Indigenous mobs. Another one of the animal components is goat's cheese from Holy Goat, which everyone in Melbourne probably knows and loves there, and those goats are reared on native grasses, so a more viable approach. And obviously, yeah, Holy Goat has that really lovely taste to it as well. Yeah. The other meats there's going to be in one of the courses, one of the canapes is smoked mussels and yabbies. Okay. And apparently yabbies are really underutilised. They're quite a sustainable approach to seafood.
Yeah,
shellfish. And they're served with, I think, finger lime and samphire in paper bark. So it's gonna that's going to be a really special, totally Indigenous menu, that one, or item. Shall I go through a few of the other plant-based elements? There's going to be bunya nut croquettes in a fermented bunya nut sauce. So bunya is from Southeast Queensland originally. But they do grow up and down the east coast. I don't know if they get beyond that, but they've been planted.
Ripon Lee Gardens have bunya. Grow over there.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're ever under a bunya nut tree, don't be.
Get away.
If there's nuts there, they can be like 10, 15 kilos if you're at home. Yeah. And they're,
head.
Yeah. They will kill you if they hit you on the head, like a coconut would.
What kind of tree is this?
A bunya nut tree.
Bunya pine.
Bunya pie pine. Tree.
Pine.
Bunya pine.
Yep.
Yeah. Deadly. But the bunya is one of these really magical, really important Aboriginal plants because they produce so much food. The bunya nut could be eaten raw, it could be cooked or fermented.
Made into flour.
And they flower and fruit every 2 or 3 years. The story, at least in the Bunya Mountains in southeast Queensland, is that when there was a big harvest of them, grapes would come from miles and miles away, and there would be all sorts of trade, and there'd be cultural relationships, and all of those sorts of things happening around this food source, around this harvest. Like down here in the Alps, in the Victorian Alps, the bogong moth. They'd eat the bogong moths. It's this amazing protein source,
and insects is definitely more of a thing. Like it's entering, you know, food culture now. It's
future
becoming
food,
more normal.
Yeah, definitely.
Protein source of protein. Yeah.
Which has been a staple in many Asian countries.
Yep. Absolutely.
Very long time.
It's nothing new there.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And can I interject? We'll be working with Alex Perry from Situation Dining. He's the chef who's worked with the broader team, but he's in charge of the menu.
So this isn't Alex Perry, the dude with the sunglasses on his head?
No. He was from the Good Table in Castlemaine. He was the chef there.
Yeah,
Castlemaine.
And we were talking during the break as well just about sort of the imperative of climate change. You know, a lot of people think it's just something in the future, it's going to happen, not in my lifetime. And, you know, one of the most recent reports out of the UN basically said in 2040, if things aren't changed, you know, pretty much now, there's going to be some dramatic changes or some serious impacts that we will all see. And that's pretty, I mean, it's a scary fact. And when you read those reports, you have to read them, you have to understand that. But unfortunately, there's an element out there that will view that as being, you know, a sensationalist and you know, some sort of conspiracy or whatever. But I think what you guys are doing is great because it's a much gentler way of getting the message out there and you're involving everybody as opposed to saying this is going to happen. You know, it's a good way to
present
the facts.
It's, you know, we've got to start thinking more urgently, but art and creativity is, as you say, a gentler way to sort of get people to get out of their comfort zone and to think about what changes they're willing to make. And actually, prior to coming to Joy FM today, we were at the Extinction Rebellion die-in. And, you know, people around the world, you would have seen on, you know, in London, people are sort of starting to realise that they have to just put themselves on the line and be willing to get arrested to draw attention to the urgency of what's going on. And they're often using creative means to do so, to get attention. You know,
they had a 3-metre long bug, like insect, there as
in front of Flinders Street Station.
Yeah. Thinking about the
sign on it saying "We're buggered," but yeah. So you know, comedy has a place.
The best ones are puns. No, I mean, because the idea there, just that, you know, the insectageddon, as some people are calling it, that the loss of insects. Yep. That's part of climate change, but that's the scary edge of climate change.
Yeah. But bees are starting to tell this story for us because people like bees. Mm. Strangely enough, they're a palatable insect.
Yeah.
Mm. People like honey. People flowers. Like bees. You know, there's a lot of romantic connotations with bees and history and literature, and you know, this symbolism is strong. So knowing that bees are suffering has enabled people to start thinking about.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world and what is truly going on. And, of course, you know, there's that huge political structure, corporate structure behind a lot of things that don't want change because they've built phenomenal businesses off of exploiting the environment. And to challenge that is...
It's huge to challenge that. It's a massive paradigm shift and, you know,
But you can't eat shareholder returns.
That's right. And you can't eat coal. You know, it's going to require... I mean, collaboration is key, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about that on a creative level, but, you know, it's going to take the world getting together and collaborating to make change and to insist on the urgency and the priority of that. I mean, this election, doesn't seem to me to be a priority on the environment. I mean... It still is not on the forefront, you know.
It's
fundamental.
Yeah.
But food is such a good place. The food is where it hits home, really.
Mm. Yeah, get them in the stomach.
Yeah. And art is just such a good way of disarming and reframing. Like with those open, reframing with those open-ended questions. So yeah, these sorts of events. This is part of ClimArt, which is the Climate and Art Festival.
Yep.
I think I mentioned before.
Yep.
We're actually after this. We're heading to an opening, which is thinking about trees and what trees are worth to us. It's called A Tree's Worth.
Yeah. Yep. Coonahan Gallery. Coonahan Gallery is in Brunswick.
It's the Brunswick Town Hall.
Oh, Brunswick Town Hall. Yeah. Okay. Easy.
Yeah. ClimArt, this is part of Bunjil Place, which is, City of Casey out at Narre Warren. If any listeners are in that sort of area, there's Bunjil Place has a whole week of events across the ClimArt Festival. And for $100, you can get tickets to 5 events, including this one. So there's $85 already, the $85 ticket to this, and then for the remaining $15, you've got ticket to 4 other events there.
Right.
So there's heaps of stuff going on at Bunjil Place for that. If I may, from the honey, good honey segue is one of the alcoholic drinks on our menu is an Anther Habitat Gin with sugar bag honey syrup.
So oh, that'll be good.
It's a Melbourne-based native botanical gin with honey sourced from native stingless bees.
That sounds amazing.
So that's another one I'm looking forward to trying.
Mm-hmm.
What's the dessert?
There's going to be a couple of bits. One is going to be a macadamia sorbet.
Okay.
So macadamias are from that sort of southeast Queensland, northern New South Wales part
Hawaii
of the world.
Hawaii seems to think that they sort of... cultivated the macadamia nut, but let's face it, it happened here.
Hawaii took it to the world. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those sort of situations where, in a way, that sort of that intellectual property, really, of thousands of years of cultivation from Aboriginal Australians was more or less just stolen and taken overseas. And, you know, it's a massive crop worldwide.
It's huge.
It's probably my top favourite nut.
Oh, yeah.
I love asking, what's your top 5 nuts?
Yeah.
And the other one is going to be, there's going to be leaf jellies of strawberry gum, lemon myrtle and anise myrtle.
That'd be great. Okay. Are they alcoholic or not?
No, those aren't.
Thirsty Dad.
No, the leaf jellies are going with a maiden eye vermouth.
Okay.
Which is served with a digestive and a Davidson plum.
Mm. Oh, lovely.
One of the things we'll be doing, myself and Gregory, will be providing microscopes so that people can also look at aspects of the menu under the microscope as well, and just take a look take a look in a different way.
I
think they'll all be set up at the bar at the end of the night.
Yeah.
It's good. Microscopes and booze go well together.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
We were talking with Bryony Barr, who's an artist, and Gregory Corchetti, who is a scientist of a very large microbiology. ecologist.
And yep.
We were talking about the vital importance of cheese, mm-hmm. particularly to Bryony's life, and why we need to keep looking at sustainability when it comes to how food is produced and consumed.
Because that way we can keep eating delicious things. Like Let's cheese. Make it sustainable.
Exactly. Yeah. And without eating delicious things, we don't have life.
That's right. So. Let's face it. Food is life.
Talking about eating delicious things, talk about eating dirt.
So part of this earth will be reframing soil. So soil is important because, you know, we need it to grow food in. Yeah. We need it to be healthy. Soil is one of the most biodiverse ecosystems on Earth, and yet most people would probably just think about it as dirt.
Yeah, anyway, treat it like dirt.
Treat it like dirt. Think of it as dirt. But one of the things we'll be doing through the experience of this earth is taking people on a journey into soil, and not just thinking about soil, but sort of thinking as soil, mm-hmm. And identifying with soil and sort of getting down in there.
Yeah. So there's all the different microbes that are in there.
Yeah. And just the different role that soil plays as a creator and as a decayer, as a grower, as a decayer, and the fungi. And so Aviva Reed, a visual ecologist, will be leading that. She calls it a soil biome immersion. So people will be literally sort of descending into the soil, you know, in a meditative sort of way, but there'll be soil there. And I'll leave that fairly mysterious, but it is really about sort of relating to the soil through thinking with rather than thinking about.
Right.
And then to accompany that, Alex has created a sort of edible soil, which has, you know, various seeds and...
ground pepper, berry wattle seed, olive, pepitas, almonds and cocoa.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yum.
I've had a couple of edible soils before, and they're always yummy and crunchy and tasty.
Yeah, and textural. Textural.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that will be one of the ways that sort of the creative and the reframing through art, and the sort of there'll be a lot of science information delivered through that meditation experience as well. And so, people will be thinking like
about
soil.
Dirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Wow.
This is fascinating. Yeah, it is. It really is. I think it's great.
You guys should come.
So how do you get tickets again?
So I believe you can get them through going to the Carbon Arts website, which is carbonarts.org, or through the Bunjil Place website, which I believe you've just put online at the Joy FM's
On our Facebook page. For Business Cape Hour. Yep.
Part of the city of Casey. Yep.
Yeah.
Out at Narre Warren.
Yeah. In a beautiful new building.
Oh, yes, and I believe there's about 30 tickets left.
Okay.
Yeah. So get in there.
That's pretty good,
people. And you can get a bus.
In the southeast,
Like that, I think you pay a little, it's $85, but if you pay a little extra, you can get driven to and from Melbourne.
Yep.
So that way you can, you know, partake of all the delicious alcoholic beverages and return home, you know, safely.
Where do people pick up the bus from if they've chosen that option? Or
we don't know.
That's a great question. Okay. Well, I'm sure that's on the website. Sorry.
Yeah. And it might, also worth checking, it might leave a bit earlier because I think the bus might be getting you out, aiming to get you out at Bunjil Place by 5 p.m. because Vera Muller is...
Moller.
She's got an amazing show on in the gallery space there, which will be part of our experience. Yep. But she's going to be there on giving a personal tour around her show at 5 p.m. that day.
Yeah. She has a beautiful show, which, as Gregory said, will be one of our stages of the evening. We'll go through her gallery. And so it's a visual art exhibition about the biodiversity of Western Port Bay. So that's just beautiful in itself. But we'll be serving some part of the evening in the midst of that installation.
Right. And is Vera? She's based in Melbourne. Or?
I'm not sure. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her but hoping to meet her soon, on the night.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the city of Casey. I didn't realise the Narre Warren was so funky.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they've got this new space, so why not use it, right?
Yeah.
Well, Narre Warren for so long was just considered an outer suburb, right? It's just sort of like Melbourne. fringe growth, and now it's sort of mid-band suburbs because it's grown so much. But Bunjil Place looks absolutely amazing, so I encourage everyone to go to the website and
there's
have a look.
There's a library there, there's theatres, as well as the galleries, as well as council chambers. Like, it's just a massive hub. But it is beautiful to look at.
How long have you been in the planning for this event? I mean it sounds huge.
Quite a number of months. Yeah. It possibly wasn't as
not long enough.
It's never long enough. You know, it's never long enough. And there's, you know, it's not like we're sort of trying to fit to a we have an idea of what we want, but there's so many things you can do, so many choices you can make, so many ways you can reframe, you know, and sort of work with these ideas. So, there's, I'd say, several months of sort of more intensive, and then a slightly longer sort of just thinking generally.
But City of Casey came to us to Jodie.
Came to Carbon Arts.
Came to Jodie at Carbon Arts with the idea to do something as part of Climb Art. And this all just emerged. They've been so great to, you know, make everything available, technicians, everything. It's going to be,
and they've subsidized.
It's going to come, it's coming together so well.
It must be really exciting, though, from your point of view, to be able to showcase your life work, basically, in this way, to get more people to understand.
There's themes that we're so passionate about, and it's so awesome to work with other people who have different ways of different ways of exploring, you know, through the senses, through performing, through music, through comedy, through, you know, performance.
Yeah.
And actually, I might just mention the name of our group, who've worked together on a previous iteration of something vaguely similar to this. It's called the Australian Future Foods Lab.
Okay,
bit of a mouthful, but that's
sort of all the name.
That's on the website. Yeah, so that's sort of all the people that are working on this project of the Earth are sort of loosely under the title of the Australian Future Foods Lab,
which is all about emerging and sustainable food systems.
Yeah, and reigniting taste buds and the cultural imagination in support of emerging and sustainable food systems.
That's amazing.
That's sort of part of our intention. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in for the Escape Hour. Yeah. So in a nutshell, if someone's just tuned in, because it is a complex idea. I know that you live with it and it must make a lot more sense than it would from the outside. But just encapsulate this event that's coming up and everything around it. Be the visible microbe.
Come. You should buy a ticket to Of This Earth. And even if you can't come to the event, think about where your food comes from. It's all connected. We are what we eat. You know,
literally.
You know, anything you eat is connected to a bigger picture of soil, of food production, of ecosystems on this planet. And it's worth giving that your attention and being curious about that.
And exactly, because a lot of people would be wondering, what can I do on my personal level, to make a change with sustainability and climate change? And doing just that is a perfect way to do that. Just look at labels, read labels, look at what's coming
from
where.
Think about where your food comes from.
It's going to be an amazing evening. And the City of Casey's heavily subsidised it, so, you know, your $85 ticket is just a bargain.
Eight courses, people.
Go to Bunjil Place, the bus you can get from the city next to Federation Square. That'll take you out there and bring you back. Vera Muller's also got 1,000 Tides, I think it's called, her exhibition. So there's a lot to be seen out at Bunjil Place at the City of Casey next Saturday, May the 4th.
And we will guide you around it.
Fantastic. Even thank you so much for being a part of the Escape Hour.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.